That's how you feel. Is that how you feel today, tonight? Amen. That's all you want and that's all you want to get? Amen. That after we finish the service, after we sung the last song and preached that preach, whatever, all you want is Him. Amen. And I hope that's all you get tonight. So it's up to you. If you are hungry and thirsting for life, for righteousness, there's someone here that can fill you tonight. And you don't have to be like a fish in the ocean, you know. Well, I better drink spurly because I might drown. How can a fish drown? Thank you, musicians. You know, you can drink as much as you want tonight. And I promise you, you won't drown. You can drown in the word if you want to, but that's all. Amen. So let me get going here. Continue keeping those in prayers. Your pastor as well. You know, we all need a strength. And we all need to be healthy. And we all need to have wisdom. So you can always pray for those three things, at least for me and your pastor, that he has the task to lead a congregation, plus do the rest of the stuff that that he do. Sometimes it takes a toll on a man. I'm not saying that that is the problem, but every little thing, it's not just one thing, it's a mix of things in life that sooner or later it takes a little toll, gets you a little tired, and you have to rest. Amen. So let us pray before we go into the scriptures. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the opportunity that we had to gather together. Father, just to sit down at your feet and let you teach us, Father, those things that we ought to know, that we need. You know more than I know. You know my heart, and you know what I have need of. Father, and I know tonight you will supply those needs because you promised, Father. Father, we thank you and we pray for those that are sick, afflicted, those that are having any problems or issues, Father. Tonight, we pray that you strengthen them, Father. We ask you to quicken them, Father. We ask for healing, Father, tonight, for those that need healing, those that need peace and joy, whatever. You know what we all have need of tonight, but we are so glad that we can depend on you tonight. And I know you will supply whatever we have need tonight. Father, we ask you for a special unction, Father, over me, so I can get myself out of the way and let you, Father, be the guest of honor tonight, Father. We love you and we appreciate everything you do and you're doing. And we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let us read a scripture here before we sit down. Let me see where this thing went here. It went south, I guess. Let's see. Files. Okay, here we are. Okay. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of a God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Amen. You can be seated. Title this, little teaching or whatever you want to call it, little chat, humble yourself. And we see right away here in Philippians 2, verse 5, she said, let this mind be in you. Right. Or another way, had the same mindset that was in Christ, had the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Right. See? the mindset, embrace it. You know? So it says, the same mindset that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. That's interesting. He's in flesh, but it's the form is God form. But let me tell you a secret. You are in God's form as well. Because you are in the form that he thought you long time before the foundation of the world. He's looking at that image that he had, and he's forming you, shaping you to that form. So sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard to accept the fact that, okay, we are gods with a small g. Sometimes we feel kind of, you know, what are people going to think about me if I make that statement? Well, you're in the form of God. God is shaping you, reshaping you in that form. Maybe this is not the flesh, but it's still inside you. A shaping is going on, a form. So, and the message tells us that the only God that anybody's going to see is going to be where? So are you shaping that form or not? Not physically, probably. Similar to Adam, he was formed as a man, but also the inside had another form of God's spirit. Amen. So he was, he says, he was being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. So what he's saying is that he, even though he was, he didn't take advantage of that. He could have come out of the cross, called 10,000 angels, and that was the end of that one. But he never took advantage of that. So us, we should not never take advantage of that either. We get that in a minute, because that's what humble means. That's what humility means. But, he says, but made himself of no reputation. Now, reputation, here I got the definition. But making yourself of no reputation, it says, make void, make a non-effect. I like this one, to empty. He emptied himself out. Ain't that something that we're supposed to be doing? Emptying ourselves out so he can fill us more and more and more to that form. No reputation, to empty. Make empty. To make void, deprive of a force, render vain, useless. See, you have to realize that we are useless. The only thing good in us is him. The rest of it is useless. I mean, to do his work. But it's not useless when he takes the vessel and he comes into that vessel. Now he can use it. But before, that was useless. No reputation, useless, of none effect. And Philippians 2:5-8 says, and being found in a fashion as a man. So he came as a human form, that you and me. He humbled. I mean, he went even further than that. He says he took a form of a servant. I didn't finish reading that one. He took upon himself the form of a servant. You know, a servant and his, you know, boss or his manager or his owner, they don't never have any relationship beside workers, you know, the slaves. And the king and those people don't eat with slaves. They had their own place to eat. They never met unless it was working, you know, purposes. But he took that form of a servant and he made in the likeness of man. He became a human being. But he took that form. See, he did not took advantage of who he was. See. And then Philippians 2:8, and being found in a fashion, a human being, a man, he went further and humbled himself. It wasn't not enough that he didn't take advantage of who he was, but then he go and humble himself and became what? Obedience. Unto death. Death of the cross. Shame death. Jesus, he has submitted to the Father's will. And he humbled himself all the way until death. You know, if you and I don't die out, yeah, we just lie. Because the Bible said we have to die out to ourselves. And this is the key here. You have to humble yourself. You have to be obedient to death. Until this guy, Eli, will disappear completely and he'll be shaped in the form that he had in mind before the foundation of the world. And that is the one that I want to see. Because I'm tired of this guy. I don't want to see this guy anymore. And I'm not going to ask you because probably, you know, you don't want to see me neither. But you don't want to see Eli. You want to see the form that and the shape and the image that God has before the foundation of the world. That's why we are here, to be shaped, to be formed by the word. Matthew 18, 1 through 4, it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See? Here is Jesus, you know, he came and became anything, slave, left his royal robes, heaven, everything. He made everything, created everything, and now this guy's wanting to find out, you know, hey, who is the greatest? But we know who is the greatest. It was right there in front of them. But they want to find out. And then, you know, the thunder thunders. You know, the mother said, well, I got a request. He asked Jesus, can you have my son one in the left and one in the right? Well, I guess they missed the whole thing here. But don't worry, because sometimes we do too. Yeah, sure. Let's not point our fingers that way. Because sometimes we miss what the point is. He said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him. He's going to answer the question. Don't worry about it. He's going to answer. He's going to illustrate. And Jesus took a little unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily, I said unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child. Those two things is a conjunction. And I mean, this is just as important as this one. You cannot do one without the other one. Converted means you have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to have it. You have to be sealed. You have to have the nature of God in you before you can be like him, like he was, the same mindset. He says, and become as a what? As a little child. You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, a little child, actually, they have no power. Physical power, they're just childs. And usually we don't even listen too much at them, or none at all. I know when I was growing up, my father used to tell me, you're supposed to not be seen and not be heard, so bye. So visit will come home and they wanted to, oh, how are your family? How's your children? So, okay, and they call us out of the room, you know, we kind of hiding. Because my father said, you know, that's the way it goes. That's in my times. So we say hi, and really, I was very, you know, my head always bowed because that's the way they brought us up. You have to be respectful. And you don't look at someone in the face straight. I mean, that was my own breaking. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's the way it was. So I learned how to respect, you know, and not challenge people, you know. So once, oh, that's Eli. Oh, I haven't seen him. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, back to your room. That was it. We don't sit down in the table and have, you know, hear the conversation like our children do today. You know what I'm talking about. Not my children's, but my grandchildren's. They're all over the table. We're talking and they just, you know. But that's fine. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying when I was growing up, a little child had no social status, you know. Nobody, you're just a child. Nobody, you don't know anything, so move it on, you know. So, but it said you have to become the same way because a child has to depend on the father. I never asked my father, you have enough money to feed me tonight? I'm hungry. Oh, I got to go to school. You got your car running? Oh, what about my clothes? You know, when I was a child, I just go out there and run around and play. I don't worry about those things. And you should not worry about this thing either. Because your Heavenly Father knows what you have need, and He will supply all your needs. So to worry is a sin. Because then you have to be like a little child. You have to depend on the Father for all you have need. He knows what you need. You're sick, He knows that. You need work, you need whatever, you're hungry, He will feed you. See? So unless we come with that kind of mentality, there's nothing that you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's kind of not hard. If we are not converted, if we don't have the Holy Spirit and sit by the Holy Spirit and walk depending on Him every day of our life, because everything that we do, of course, I'm not saying that we don't supposed to go out to work. We go to work, we do things, we go to the store, we buy all those things. But I depend on God. Sometimes we have a few, you know, pesos in our pocket, and you know, we plan things and vacation and everything, and we forget about the one that we're supposed to remember. Yeah, you got a few dollars, but you need to know that because God is what you got, the job that you got, and you got the pay you got, and you got the health you got, and because without Him, we're nothing. Even though we think we are somebody. But it says, and Jesus called the little one and said to him in the midst of them, and said, verily I said unto you, except you converted and become a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So who is the greatest in the kingdom? But if you don't follow this example, you ain't going to make it. It says, whosoever therefore shall humble. Now, he's going to go a little further with this. It's not good enough or not sufficient just to act like a child and depend on the Father. I don't mean a childish act. Because some people in this message sometimes act too childish. I'm talking about being like a child. Okay? It says, and you are converted and you are becoming a little child, then, and you humble yourself as this little child, then the same is the greater in the kingdom of God. That's their answer. I don't know if that's what they were looking for, but that is the answer. And no, children are powerless. And sometimes, most of the time, they overlook. Mama, I want to tell you something. Wait. Leave me alone. Go and do something. Go and read or go and play outside. See? Sometimes we just ignore them a little bit. But we know that they depend on the Father. As a provider, He provides all their needs. See? And Jesus typed these children, see, these powerless, defenseless, helpless children as the kingdom of God when they are converted. You and I, when we came into with the Lord, we started as a child. See? It is a journey. And when we were converted, then we were like child. We didn't know anything. But slowly, with time, you know, we grow, just like a child will grow and become an adult. But it was that phase that we all had to grow and learn and submit. See? But nevertheless, that mentality should not disappear when it comes to God completely. Well, I'm an adult now, I can do what I want, and I can, you know, decide what I want. No, you're not if you're a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you're still a child of God. Maybe a 73-year-old child, but you still are. And the thing is that God wants to take care of you. You know that? God wants to take care of you more than what you want to take care of yourself. And if we give Him a chance, and we depend on God, you will see things that you never seen before. But as long as we, the only person that is keeping you from getting there, the only person that is in the way is you. It's not me, it's not the pastor, it's not the wife, it's not the husband, it's you. Because we need to learn as a child how to depend on the Father. Amen? That's what we pray for our food. I know you went to the store and you work and you have money and you pay for it, but He provided it. Don't ask me to explain you, but he is my provider. And I thank him every day I sit down to eat and drink, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have the health to drink and eat neither. It's not just one thing. We're looking at the whole picture. So Matthew 23:11-2 says, but he that is greater among you shall be what? Servant. So that was the answer. You want to be great? The way up is down. See? So you want to be the first one? Then be the last one. You want to be great? Then help somebody else. You know? It says, but his great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Proud. See? And he that shall humble himself shall be what? Exalted. So we have a key already here. Jesus humbled himself. That's the kind of mind that we should have. The mindset that we should also humble ourselves. And don't make more than what we are. That we are nothing anyway without him. But sometimes we think we just because we got a little bit more with somebody. But we are any nobody. The only reason we are somebody is because he in me. If there's anything good in me, it's him. Beside that, that's all it is. James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So the way up is down. First shall be last. And you want to be the greater one, then serve everybody else. Amen. So you're getting the idea of what this being humble, you know, it's all about. And if that was the character of Jesus Christ, you think you're going to do better without it? To death. You had to crucify your flesh, and I had to crucify my flesh. All the way, be obedient and humble myself until death. Death of this flesh, physically or spiritually. Because the Bible tells us we need to crucify our flesh. See? Now, it says, sometimes we like to humble ourselves when things are going well. Sometimes when they're going good, you know. But we should humble ourselves at any time. I don't care if it's time of suffering. I don't care if it's time of trouble. I don't care if it's time of circumstance. See, what happens is sometimes we're going through a situation and sometimes where is God? Well, I got rights. Yeah, you do got rights. But you already forfeit all your rights to take him as a husband. Because that's what that veil indicated when, you know, people get married. That veil's supposed to go, at least in the Jewish tradition, that veil, she takes it and put it over the husband. That means, I'm yours. I have forfeit all my rights. And I know you got rights. We all got rights. But the only thing that we have to do with those rights is just forfeit them. Because God will take care of us completely. He says over here, he says, when we think, sometimes we think about qualities of people that are good Christians, leader, and they are, you know, great preachers and great evangelists, and there are people that are really doing it out there. Sometimes the first thing we come to mind were, you know, they are charismatic, they said. And I don't know what that word means, but it's charismatic, you know. Oh, there are people they have confidence. And there are people that are in control, see. They have a vision. But on that list, the one thing that you never see and you never hear is they are humble. That's the world, the government, the presidents, people in charge. And that list, the only thing you don't find is they are humble people. Why? Because nobody wants to humble themselves. Everybody wants to make a reputation. I am so and so. I'm a bishop so and so. And I do so and so. And I did so and so. Jesus did not make himself any reputation. He emptied himself out. So what right do we have to go around, you know, like a pope? or, you know, full of hot air is what I call it. So Jesus here, even though he just emptied himself and he didn't take advantage of who he was effective, being humble. In fact, I don't know anybody else in history that had the crowd following like he had. And the confidence of those people. And the loyalty that they wouldn't even die for him. And he never had to prove anything. He just led a humble life. But I think, you know, like that kind of a way is not good for some people. To humble themselves. So Jesus did, and we know that there's no other character in human history like Jesus. In fact, after 2,000 years, we still got Bible. We're still talking, we're still preaching about him. And he humbled himself. And he made himself of no reputation. A minister sometime, as a minister too, I want to emphasize the importance of humility. See? But I want you to understand that humility is a character trait. And you, it's not a gift. It's a victory. And you have to fight for it. In this journey, you had to. That's why we're trying, God is trying to bring the character, his character in you. And it's not going to be easy and nobody's going to hand it out to you. You're going to have to fight for it. And humble, being humble, it is a trait character. And I want to be like him. He was humble. I want to do it until death. Until I'm done physically. Until we leave this place. Amen. So, I want to share with you a few keys. You know, sometimes we preachers, we throw words out there. And we think you understand them. See, we sometimes we quote the Bible and we say a few things and we think that you understand, you know, because you read your Bible and you pray and you come to church. So, but I don't want to think. I want to explain to you what this word humble means. So you have, I want to define that for you. I don't want to just, okay, like we're done. You understand? No, we still defining what humble means. We haven't even finished. So I want to give you keys of what a humble Christian is, what it looks like. Then you can measure yourself to that, to the Bible. And then you decide if you do or you don't. And if you don't, then just don't worry. We have mercy, grace here. You still can. I'm telling you what, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, a child of God, you know, God will humble you. There's no doubt about it. That's what the Bible said. So why you want him to force you when you can do it? Because you desire to be that way. Because that will be what he wants. He wants you to desire his will. I don't want a God that will force me to obey him. I want a God that I love enough that I will do what he wants me to do because he loves me. And you come to church because you love God. Nobody forced you to come to church. So, for that reason, I'm saying that I want to know, because that is what I want to be. Whatever his will and desire for my life, that's what I want. I want to fulfill his desire in my life. I want an empty mind. I want his ambition, not mine. I want his thoughts, not mine. I want his mind, not mine. So that means I have to die out to mine. And that's the journey. So, first thing of a humble person, they lead to serve. I wrote it down, I will explain them. Humble people sometimes don't look for attention to themselves, see? But they try always to help someone else, because that's what Jesus came. Jesus said he came as a form of a servant. So that is the first one. It says, Galatians 5:13, for brothers, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for your own advantage. or for your own occasion, or for your own desires. He says, to the flesh. Okay? That's what we have to die, to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. And if that is not our intention, it's not that my desire, then we are wasting our time. But before you can love someone, you need to know what love is. Because he loved me first, now I can love somebody else. So without the Holy Spirit, without that experience, you won't be able, without God in you, you won't be able to love someone that he loved you. I didn't know what love was. I thought I knew. I made a mess out of my life, seeking after what I thought it was. Never satisfied until he came into my life. And that, I stopped looking because I found what I was looking for. See? So, love and serving others is the mark of someone that is humble. But the Bible says, you help others and you will see heavens. See, this is not about you. When you come to church, this is about your brother and your sister. Because if it's you, then you're looking for your own occasion. Instead of, Lord, feed me, I will always say, Lord, I come to church now. Now, if you don't want to, you don't have to bless me, Lord. But I'm here because I want someone else to be blessed. But by the way, if you decide to, I take it. But my reason to be here, because I love my brother and my sister, I want them to be blessed. And if a little crumb falls, I take it. And I'm just as grateful for that crumb that as I am when the congregation gets blessed. It says, Galatians, it says, serve one another. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know that if you love someone, you don't steal from them. See, that's what the law says. Thou shalt not steal. We don't go by the law. But if you have love, you have fulfilled the law. Because you will not commit adultery. If you love God, you will not accuse someone falsely. You do not gossip. You do not kill someone else, you know, not kill their influence. If you love someone, you want that person to have even what you don't have. So, it says, for all the laws fulfilled in one word, the law, the Ten Commandments. Because if you love, you will never break one. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, second, they have reserve of inner strength. A humble person, even though they are meek and they're powerless, look at Moses. He's the meekest man that you ever read in the Bible. But that man, he was crying out. After he saw all the things that he spoke into existence, all the thing that happened, and he delivered God in him delivered those the Israelites. And then he gets down to the river and he started crying out. You know, he missed something. You know what was the point that he missed? That's why God said, stop crying and speak. Right. You have seen I took care of you already here and here and here and here. And now you're going to cry out to come and help you? After you've seen all I had done, my hands has done. And sometimes you and I, we go to the same point. We have seen all that God has done for us. Look at how far God has brought us. And see, and we do like Moses. We forget that the one that did all that was him. See, and then we start crying out because now I don't know what to do. Moses, that was his mentality. Now, I mean, he's seen all this and suddenly, like he's going to do something about it. That's what his failure was. That he was in himself trying to figure out, how are we going to get out of this mess? You never got out of that mess. Why are you figuring out to get out of this mess? So, they got an inner strength, not in the flesh, but it's God in them. They got joy, they got peace, they got strength. See? Everything that you have need of is in him tonight. I don't care what it is, but as long as we stop for a minute and start thinking that we are going to do something our way, that's when we start crying out. Because it won't work. You know, like I told you the other day, I went to the dentist and I had it all planned out. And the dentist said, you need to take penicillin. I said, no, I don't want penicillin. It's too hard in my body, that thing. It kills my good bacteria. And then, you know, from there on, it's worse. So I don't want that. But I learned that, you know, through all these years, at least I learned something. So I said, no, no. So he said, no, here, I'm going to prescribe. I said, no. So I go home and I said, well, let's see an alternative to this. So I started taking something else, you know, off the shelf, you know. You take organic stuff. Well, went back to the doctor. He says, you still have the infection. So now I'm going to give you double. So he did, and I had to take them, you know, because the Lord rebuked me. He says, if you go to the doctor, Brother Brown says, do what the doctor tells you. So I didn't. I was fighting, see, against it. And sometimes that's what we do. We start crying out. Why? Why? All we have to do is surrender our lives. We've seen God throughout the years, all the work that God has done in our lives. You think he's going to fail you now? You think he brought you this far like Moses and now he's going to fail? That's not my father. And that was Moses between the sea and the Pharaoh army. He had a moment of amnesia, I guess. He figured, and now what? Now what? Nothing. You're still serving the same God that took you out of Egypt, and he will take you out of that situation. Speak. So a humble person, even though he's meek and he's humble, he still has a strength. So don't let nobody tell you because you're humble, you're a weak person. Like some people say, Christians are weak. Well, we're not. Well, I'm weak on myself. The Bible said, in my weakness, he is my strength. But they don't know that strength. But that's my inner strength. That is God. And a humble person always surrender to that. Don't try to do nothing on yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to succeed. You might have fun for a little while, but sooner or later, you're going to figure it out. It's not going to work out. Even when you go out on vacation, pray, God, give me a good trip. God, have mercy. Lord, make sure that this airplane, you know, you protect every nut, every screw, every washer from the nose to the back. And make sure they do what it's supposed to do. And that's what I pray. I don't know, you guys. And when I get in my car, I say, God, protect this car from bumper to bumper. That's insurance that they tell you that, but they never deliver. But God will deliver. When I tell him, you know, from bumper to bumper, that's my assurance tonight. See, and the guy, I go and rent a car, and he always tells me, you need to get some more insurance that, you know, so you don't have to use yours. Yeah, it's whatever, $3,000 or $35 a day. I said, I already got insurance, and they cover me. Anyway, and I have an assurance, bumper to bumper. He said, you do? Yes, just I don't want it. So I always deny it. Not because I'm the best driver and I depend on me. It's because I'm dependent on him to see me all the way through. So there's a strength. Also, they trust the sovereignty of God. God is in control. And that's what I'm trusting tonight. And I know that God is perfect in all his judgment. And if anything happens to me, I still, God is God. I don't question God. If I have an accident in my trip, God always knows. I don't know why things happen, but I'm trusting God for all the answers that I have need. And I don't never feel, you know, the urge to question God. He brought me this far. You think I'm going to question him now? I don't know. You might be a child that just started like a Christian, just born. But I tell you one thing. It takes a lifetime. Because this is progressive. This is not something that you done. Now you got the Holy Ghost. No, that's how the journey starts. And it's progressive. And slowly you grow and you grow and you start depending on Father. And he took care of this situation like David. He's the lion and he's the bear and this, that. And he took him out of all the situations. So when he faced the Philistine, he didn't do like Moses. Because he already had experience with God. And knew that God will deliver. So he didn't think about it. He just got his stones. He got his slingshot. And he didn't even, probably was a good, you know, he was a good thrower of that rock. Because he killed those bears and those lions. He had good practice. But it wasn't in how good he was. It was in how good God was. So he didn't start crying out, what am I going to do now? Now, the armies were crying out. And he rebuked them for doing that. So another thing, a humble person, they admit their mistakes. Okay. See, we all make mistakes. And we all, okay, I do make mistakes. I sometimes make the wrong choice. And sometimes I said the wrong things, see? And as long as I am in this flesh, I'm going to have to say, sorry, see? But when you are willing to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, see? When you humble yourself and take your pride out and take yourself out. See, a Christian got to come to that point. See, Jesus in the cross, yeah, dying. He says, forgive them. And he forgave you. And you're not going to forget someone else because you said something wrong. Intentionally or not intentionally. There still is that when we make mistakes, we need to confess our sin. Because that is a quality of being humble. James 5:16, confess your fault. Not your sins. You don't confess your sin to a human being or a man or a pope or anybody. Confess your fault. When you falter, you know, it says, one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know why sometimes healing don't happen in our churches? Because we're carrying too much junk. You know, when we come to church, it should be nothing in between you and God. Amen. Brother Branham told us, make things right before you walk through those doors. If you have anything against somebody, you know, a Christian is honest. A Christian is sincere. A Christian is trustworthy. And we should be honest with one another. We should be sincere with one another. And if you do something, you should, you know, talk to that person. Sorry, I did not. That's not what I meant to do. That's not what I meant to say. That's how you're taking it. Sorry. And it has caused you some inconvenience. I am sorry. But it wasn't my intention. But it's not what you said. It's how they perceive what you have said. And you don't want nothing in between you and God. When you see, your prayer has to be answered. But as long as there's something in between there, God cannot answer our prayers. And there's a lot of people that don't get healed. So when you walk through those doors, make sure your mind is completely, your conscience is clear and satisfied that you made everything right. You said, confess the fault to one another. The next one says, they seek input from others. See, sometimes there are some people that think they know it all. I don't need to ask anybody anything. I know. But be careful with those people that say they know it all. Because if you tell me you found a friend that knows everything, I'll be careful with that. Because who knows everything? I don't. So a humble person seek always input from somebody else, from others. Because they are not proud. They admit that they need help. And that is hard for proud people. That is hard for people that esteem themselves more than they esteem somebody else. See, because they don't like to humble themselves, you know, and ask, I need help. And that's not what this place is here. You know, if we need help and you need help, you know, we are not going to criticize you or judge you. That's not what we are here for. There's a lot of you that you will not talk to the pastor because you have heard so many things. But like I said, we have to be honest and sincere. That's a trait of a Christian.
Right.
You have you misunderstood something from the pulpit or misunderstood your pastor say something. You know, be honest. Just go over there and ask him. However, asking is one thing and telling is another thing.
Right.
Sometimes we just want to tell.
Right.
This is what I feel. This is how I feel about that subject or whatever. Or this is my idea. You know, this is not about who is right and who is wrong. See? I just need help. I heard this and I want to know what that means. I'm not too clear on it. And this is my thought on that matter. But what is your input on this? But sometimes we don't want to do that. We want to correct instead of asking. We want to do it because we want to correct the person. But that's the wrong way to ask for help. So when I'm saying we like to ask input, it's because we know that we need help. But sometimes appearances, people like, you know, avail much because some people don't want to, you know, well, I have an appearance that I am this and that and they're supposed to know the message and, you know, but, and they hate to humble themselves and ask a question. Because they think they know it all. And you cannot teach me. And we had those experiences in this church. People left behind these things. And all you had to do is just ask.
Right.
Even if he's the pastor, he's not going to eat you up. Not yet. I've been here with him so many years and haven't seen me in anybody. Why would you feel that way about your pastor? Why do you feel that he intimidates you? He don't intimidate me. But we have conversation. And sometimes he showed me things that I didn't see. Like Andy and I, yesterday we had a meeting. And I was focused on a project. He focused on something. Then Brother Doug said, well, let me explain this to you, Brother Eli. I cannot like to come back and take a big picture of the whole thing. You know, not just hone in the problem. But I stepped back and looked at your thing and your project, and I looked at you, what you wrote, and I started thinking about this and this, that I'm not looking at it, you know, I'm just like this, so how can you see? But see, I didn't take it as an offense that, well, after I did all this work, no. I took it as, wow, you know, I thought about that, but I did not concentrate so much on that. Yes, you're right. I'm going to check on this. I'm going to see what I can find out about that and this and that. So next time when we get together, well, I have a better picture. And that's all it is. You know, when we ask help from each other, it is not because if you feel that somebody's going to judge you or criticize you, then there's some bad thing in there. You know, why do you feel that way? Ain't we family? We should act like family. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Here's a comment that was underneath that verse. The person who is wise in his own eyes is rarely so in the eyes of other people. So sometimes you think you're fooling you know, people, but you're fooling yourself because everybody knows already who you are. So stop pretending. A humble person is what it is. You get what it is. You know? Because the fifth one says they know themselves. They know themselves. Humble people know who they are. See? And they behave in the way that they know they are. And we are Christians, and we believe in the word, and we believe in the message, and the knowledge that we acquire in church, and we behave accordingly. If not, we're lying to ourselves. So a humble person knows who he is. You know, that's why it should not be envy, jealousies, because I know who I am. And if you know who you are, but there's no beef. We don't have to be jealous of one another. We all children of the Heavenly Father, and there's not big and there's not small. We all the same in his sight, unless we were trying to make ourselves bigger than that. That's where we get in trouble. But we should not. We should not, try to look over, you know, like we are more revelated. We're all the same. I understand, you know, that we're growing. It's a journey. It's room for improvement. And some of you are a little hard and some of you are a little lower spiritually. But that don't mean that this is more special than you are. We're all special. And we all here to help one another. That's the character. Because see, you will not make it without me. And I cannot make it without you. And I need your help. And you need my help, you like it or not. That is his plan. So how can we get out of here when we don't trust each other? And we are not honest. And we are not sincere with each other. And humble ourselves and help each other. I want to get out of here. Do you want to get out of here? Yes. Help each other. You cannot help each other unless you communicate with each other. No? And I know, I'm not saying that I know everything. I understand everything. And I still have a lot to learn. See? And you have a lot to learn. Because if not, you won't be here. You're not done, and you're not done, and you're not done, and I'm not done, because if I was done, you wouldn't see me today. See? 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in knowledge. So we all growing. Nobody can say, well, I know more than you, or you know, there's no big eyes or small U's, and we all in this thing together. And if you know more than I do, help me so I can reach your level. But don't look at me down just because you think you're more special. We should help each other. We should not come to church and be uncomfortable with one another at all. That is the thing I always look at. When I meet somebody or start talking to somebody, some people make me very uncomfortable to be in their presence. That's not their fault. That's the spirit that they have. Because they created an atmosphere. See? And I'm walking into that atmosphere, and I don't know what I'm walking into, but as soon as I'm uncomfortable, I know there's something here. I don't mean I try to, you know, walk away. But I know that sometimes talking to some people, whatever you say is not going to change their mind. They got their mind made up. I understand that too. So I'm not going to argue. I'm going to listen, and thank you, brother, and bye. But there are some people that I feel more a pull. You know why? Because we are kindred spirits. And that's what should happen in church, which you all have kindred spirit, that will attract each other, not repel each other. Oh, I cannot see that brother, not even in a picture. You know, sometimes, no, you laugh, but you know that sometimes we do feel that way. Okay, not you. So 1 Corinthians 4:17. This is what the NIV says, the new version. It says, who makes you different from one else? What do you have that you did not receive? It says, and if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? So you receive something from God, but we negate that. We said, no, this is me. So that we say, you received it. Now you are boasting on yourself. Yeah. When you got, listen, whatever you are, who you are, that comes from God. Right. So who's going to boast here? Right. Who will be the biggest one that's going to say, I'm special and I received this and I am this? Well, you're admitting that you received it. But you're boasting that it's yours, that it's come from you. No, it comes from him. Anything that we do, it is him working through us. So who's going to boast? It's not me. It's not you. It's him. Says, why do you boast a thought you did not? Now, six, humble people, they're genuine. You know, they're the real thing. Humble people know the importance of being authentic, you know. Not, you know, pretending that I am a humble person. See? And then, you know what a humble person is? A humble person, but you are the same in church. And you are the same at work. When you are the same at school. But if you are not what you are here, out there, you're pretending to be something that you are not. And I don't want to be a pretender. I want to be the real thing. So if you care about these people, you care about anybody else. When Jesus was in the cross, he didn't care only about his followers. He cared about the people. He forgave them. That's love. So a person that is a real Christian and humble Christian is the same everywhere. You don't give the cashier at Walmart a hard time because he gave you, he short you money. No, you're nice to that person. Maybe she had a problem that day, the husband. And then you're going to make it worse by yelling at her and tell you so and dumb and what is your problem? If you are not the same there that you're here, there's a problem. Humble yourself. Be nice to people. You're nice to your brothers and sisters, but that's not the only. This it don't end here when you walk out of those doors. You have to be nice to everybody because that's who you are.
Right.
It's who you are. So sometimes brother Doug like to say, why would I want to be a second, you know, bed or redder one? Like, why would I want to be you when I can be me first, you know? How did he say it? Why? Oh, anyway, I get it in a minute. So, a second rated, yeah, when you imitate somebody else, you become a second when you can be yourself. So, Philippians 2:4. Don't look out only for your own interests. But take an interest in others. That's what you're here for. Your mindset should be my brother and my sister. Not what I'm going to get. You will get something, but first your brother and your sister. Your mind should be you first and second. Your mentality should be God first, church second, I'm last. Once you break that order, we have troubles. Because now it's you. See? Trying to be you. See, we don't want to be that way. We want to humble ourselves. That we always think about the interests of others. Before ours. I know that's hard to do. But that is the way it is. Jesus Christ went to death, to the cross, died a shameful death. He wasn't thinking about himself. You know, he was thinking about it for the joy that was put in front of him. You, and you. And if you take your eye from that, you start putting it in you. Take your eyes out of you and put it on someone else. See what you can do for someone else today. You know, I heard preachers saying, if you're depressed or you feel bad, go and do something for somebody else. That takes your eye from you and put it in somebody else. And then you feel better. Seven, they are trustworthy. Now, trust is not something that, you know, that you get, that you receive. It's something that you actually, or somebody give you. But it's something that you earn. I don't understand that. You know, trust is not, you don't trust everybody. But they have to earn it. But humble people also know that you earn it, but not only earn it, but you give it. When I meet people, this is me. This is me. If I meet you for the first time, I will give you 100% of my trust. Sure. And Brother Brown said the same thing. The first time you do something to breach my trust, then instead of 100, I went down to 80. But that wasn't my fault.
Right.
I trusted you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So everybody start with me with 100% trust until you do something to me. No. You lost it, buddy. You know? But you don't meet a person and start questioning. I wonder what he wants. Why he's saying that? You know, we start questioning, you know. You don't do that. You trust people. You trust them until there used to be. I learned this early in Christianity. People ask me for money, and they said, "Let me some money." And I said, "No, I'm not going to give you. Well, how much you need? 20s. Yeah, like that. You don't have to remember pay me back. Yeah, right. And you won't be in trouble with me, and I won't criticize you, and you will not lose my trust. I'll give you $20. You don't have to pay me." They pay me later on, but I didn't care. I already forgot. I gave it. So then I don't have to wait for it. Then I forget about it. And then money start coming in. I say, oh, yeah, I didn't, when, how, okay, thank you. Yeah, and that's the only way to do business. If you don't want to be worried about collecting money, depending, if it's a business, it's a business. But I'm not talking about banks and things like that. I'm talking about sometimes people need help. I prefer to give and forget. Amen. 9, they understand, well, let me read number 8. They treat others with respect. We need to treat each other with respect. And we need to be consistent on how we treat one another. Because sometimes what good it do for you to treat those that you love better than those that you don't love? That is not humble. That's clique. Well, I like you because you like me. But what about to like that one that don't like you? Well, I don't like him, but he don't like me. Well, that's not what Jesus did. You're supposed to love your enemy. You forgot that one? Even if he don't love you. Even if he wants to kill you. I could tell you, but I won't. I don't have the time. But, you know, that's what the Bible says. Respect. You know, sometimes you don't agree with a person, but you don't have to disrespect them because you don't agree with the person. That's not being humble. Just because a person disagreed, you know, that means that they go to fellowship. You know, sometimes I'm out there in Walmart and you see all the message believers that come around, and when they see me, they just turn the other way. And is that humble to you? It does say, I mean, I understand humble. That's not humble. They don't respect because they think they're better than you. At least that's what they've been told. And you find somebody else, you know, I can have a conversation with a man that is a Catholic or not. You know, I know who I am. If somebody invite me to preach in the Baptist church, I go and preach. I don't have no problem. I'm not going to get cooties and nothing is going to get to me. I know who I am and I know what I... What do they have? They don't have anything. If I had the opportunity and we disagree, but we have to be respectful with people. Romans 2:11 says, "For there is no respect of person with God. God will help those that they need help." God don't say, "Well, you are a sinner and I don't want to see you or talk to you. I don't even want..." No. That Gentile woman that wanted his daughter to be healed. And Jesus tell him, "Well, sorry. This bread is not for dogs." Now, that sounded respectful to me, if you would tell somebody that. But it don't look politically correct, but it was a purpose on that one. He's trying to try her, to test her. And she said, "Well, okay, but even the crumb that fall out of the table." See? But we should respect people even if they don't agree with each other. And I tell you what, so far I've been married, I don't know, almost going to 50 years, and I still don't agree with some things with my wife after 50 years. And I don't try to change her, because I know that's the way she believes about certain things, but I also believe differently in other issues. But that's not ground for me to be disrespectful. Luke 6:31, and as you would that men should do to you. So how do you like to be treated? You want people to be honest with you? You like people to be sincere with you? You like people to respect you? But you need to do the same thing in return. You're not going to get respect if you don't respect. You're not going to be, people are going to be honest with you or trust you. You don't trust him. So this is both ways. It's just not one way. But that's what the Bible says. Do unto others what you like them to do unto you. Now, the way you do sometimes, I don't know if I want them to do me that. My wife always put that one on me when I'm arguing like that with somebody. Hey, you're supposed to love your enemy. You're supposed to do, what do you like that person to do for you? Boy, do that for them. No, okay, that's wrong. Boy, they don't. Of course, they're not listening to me, but my wife always reminds me. So what do you like for them to do? Then go and do that. Go and be nice. But, you know, I cannot argue with the Bible, so I had to. That's it. 9. I'm almost finished. 9. They understand their limitations. See? They have confidence. But they recognize that they also their weakness. We got weakness, and you need to recognize those weakness. But see, I could be weak in one area, but you can be strong in that area. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to help each other. But if you don't recognize that you have limitations, you will not ask for no help because you think you can do it all and nobody can do nothing for you. But we understand, you know, and we humble ourselves. But we have confidence. See? Just be sincere with yourself. Be truthful to yourself. I got this problem. I'm weak in this area. You know, and if one can chase 1,000, get another brother. You might need 2,000, 2 million, I don't know. Get the whole congregation to pray for you. Don't be proud. Don't, you know, humble yourself and admit, I got a problem. Because we are not here to criticize you. We are not here to judge you. We are here to help you. But if you don't believe that I can help you, no one else is going to help you. This is a family. This is your brothers and sisters. See? 2 Corinthians 12:5 is of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my weakness, infirmities. So if you go into glory in something, glory in how bad you are, because we know one good. We got weaknesses. We got limitations. See? There's nobody yet perfect. At least the flesh, I tell you what, I'm sorry to pour water over you, but you will never get this guy perfect. This guy's not going to make it. This guy is who he is. We're not here to perfect this guy. We are here to overcome this guy. So forget about trying to make him look good. Trying to make it, you know, pretend to be something else. You will never get this guy to. Sooner or later, he's going to betray you. The problem is that you are your worst enemy, and I am my worst enemy. So you're sleeping with the enemy. That's sad, isn't it? Sleeping with the enemy. Ephesians 4:29. But you're still in control. Don't worry about the enemy. You still can overcome it. Anyway, he's not going to overcome you unless you let overcome you. We got the power that we need to overcome. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And this is, and I'm going to use this one because number 10, and that's my last one. Humble people, they are models to everybody else. They're examples to everybody else. People that are humble, the Bible says, mark those, you know, that are good, but also mark those that are not. Those that create problems and dissensions and blah, 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 mark them. but also just mark the good ones. But a humble person is a model Christian. Anyway, they are, because they are living what they're talking. Not only talk, but they have action on what they do. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29. But what which is good to use of edifying your life, you should humble yourself so you can edify someone else. So someone else can be just as humble. See? Listen, you don't think people are looking at you. Every time you walk out of these doors, you're in a drama. People are looking. People knowing. People even know what you're saying. And then they compare with what you're doing to see if it matches. See, you can tell everybody I'm a Christian, but they don't want to hear you're a Christian. I'm going to see how Christian you are, because what you're saying, I'm going to see you leave that. But a humble person is a model. He will live exactly what he knows and who he are and what he is. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying. So, brother and sister, if you're going to talk to someone and you're not going to edify him, might as well shut it. Or don't say it. If you're not going to be a blessing to somebody, might as well just start talking. If what you're going to say don't going to bring somebody up, lift them up, or make them feel better, please, don't. If it's not a positive, don't even mention it. If you're going to, you know, sometimes we see our brother and sister is down, and sometimes we kick him further down. We are here to edify one another. See? So no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that what is good to use of edifying. That is, may minister grace unto what? The hearer. You know, you finish talking to John, and hello, John. And next thing I know, wow, well, that was a nice conversation, man. I'm glad I talked to John, you know. I was feeling kind of down a little bit, but I'm glad he lifted me up. Why are you laughing? Is it just you or me? Only me that feel that way about John? You know, I feel that way about anybody. If our life cannot edify someone else, then what are we doing here? This is just church, plain church. You know, your life had to mean something to somebody, to God. We're not playing church. This is the real thing. This is the real thing. Colossians. And he says, and I understand, you know, it's a progressive walk. And it's always room for improvement. So don't criticize your brother and your sister yet. They're working in process. Maybe he or she is not where you are, but just give her time. And if she's not or he's not, just help them to get there. So we can hurry up and get out of here, Brother Cornelia. Sister Cornelia. Brother Cornelia is your husband, see? But sister, no. I cannot fix it. Forget it. Sorry. So, there's always room to be a better person tonight and a better Christian. Listen, we haven't arrived yet. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm in my way. So be patient with me. And if you're not, just help me then, you know, to get there sooner. So, the desire of a humble person, and I'm going to close with this, is they want to be always a peacemaker. Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And I'm not going to explain all those. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another. Be patient with one another. Tolerate one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so you do also. Amen. So, how our life, as we're going through this, how are your life against these things? Are you truly humble people? Yes, we are. If we're missing something, that don't mean you're missing it. That means you still need to work on it. You know, you haven't arrived, but today, that's why we come to church. Because we want to learn. We want to be taught. That's the problem in the message and in other religion is how you taught. That's how you're going to act. You know that problem I said, you cannot act no higher than what you've been taught. So some people act that way. That's not them. They've never been taught no better. But it's a better way. And that's what we are here for. Because it's a better way. So, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Requirement, humble. That's the only requirement, and pray. Isaiah 5:57-15, for thus said the high and lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So I came across this powerful quote from Spurgeon. He says, every Christian has a choice between being humble or being humbled. You have a choice tonight. If you are a Christian and you feel the Holy Ghost, God will humble you. But you don't have to be that way. But we need to desire to be humble. Amen? Because the alternative is He will humble you. See? So either way, you're going to come that way. So come willingly. You know? Because you don't know. God put you in a bed, a sickness. I don't know. Why do we have to go through all that when we know what the right things to do? And tonight we want to read one quote. You can stand. I've got a couple of quotes I want to read you. So you can stand with me because I got just a couple of minutes here. It says, his birth, he says, the belief thou didst, Houston, Texas, his birth, when Jesus was born in earth, he had a black mark to begin with. He was always received by the common people and scorned mostly by the religious sect of the people in them days and of the great, rich and high-minded people, I guess rich people and, you know, high class. And it's just about that way today too. It is the same. Not as I am trying to say that rich or ritzy people cannot be saved. He says they can if they are humble themselves and come like the rest of us. See? But we must all come one way. That's come. Knowing that we are nothing and He is all. And being willing to surrender ourselves to Him in order to receive the benefit from Him. And if you get anything from God, you have to humble yourself and become nothing before Him. And know nothing but one purpose, that is, you are trying to find Jesus. Then when you humble yourself down, God will exalt you. But when you exalt yourself, God will see that you are brought abased. Another one, be humble. Let yourself be the lowest of all. Say, don't ever exalt yourself. If you do, you are going to become abased. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. Don't figure that God owes you anything. Remember, you owe Him all. He has to toil day and night to keep His radiance of beauty, to keep the perfume following. He pulled day and night from the earth to give out. That's what a real Christian does. You pray and humble yourself and keep before God day and night in order that you might give yourself to somebody else. So all you do, all the work you do, praying, singing, worshiping, praising, reading your Bible, you're not doing it for yourself, actually. You're doing so you can be a blessing to somebody else. And if that's your attitude, your mindset, when we come to church, things will happen. Now, what you keep is what you give that counts. It says you must give yourself out to others. That's the way Jesus did. He gave himself to others. You come say, now, Lord, I have been in school for 40 years now. I am an intellectual student. I can quote the Bible with my eyes closed. God cannot use a bit of that. See, I belong to the biggest church that is in the country. I am this, Lord. I am Pentecostal. Glory to God. I just received the Holy Ghost the other night. Hallelujah. You are going to make me to do so and so. God cannot use a bit of that. No. Whatever we get licked and realize you are licked, and then come and back and humble yourself. Get weak and find you are a human. See? And there's none of you intellectual can do too. Human weakness will never be used of God. And we recognize that we are feeble. We are weak. God cannot use it. It says, human weakness will never be used of God. God, by the human weakness, poured himself into you. Then he used himself. No. He's not using you. He's using himself in you. So what you got to do in this? He said, human weakness will never be used of God. God, by the human weakness, pour himself into you. Then he used himself. You just become a what? An instrument. You know, they're laying there doing nothing. They're dead, actually. They don't even have life. But let's get somebody to take that instrument and start playing. And that's who you are. You are nothing until he comes and plays you. Amen. We cannot take credit for anything. Amen. It says, you just become an instrument. Certainly, you have got to get yourself out of the way. Tonight, I will say it this way. Throw yourself out of the way. Throw yourself out of you and let him take over. Amen. And become, I have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus. The same attitude. The same as Jesus. That is our example. And you are not, and me are not going to make it no other way but by following the example. Amen. Musicians, you should be here by now. No. I know you're just waiting for me to finish. I'm done. Amen. Come on. You're making me preach some more. If you don't come, I'll continue. No. Amen. So I hope you have enjoyed the little teaching. And I hope I'm praying that God will make this church a humble church. That everybody that comes to those doors, they will be edified, you know, by your presence. Actually, it's God's presence in you. Amen. Thank you.